Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul with your host, Dr. Valerie N. Parker, businesswoman, author, speaker, and life coach. Dr. Parker is the president of Arise by VMP, which is a speakers bureau and public relations company. She is also the visionary and founder of the Soul of a Woman Foundation that brings awareness to domestic violence and children living in single-parent homes. Hot Topics from the Soul is a virtual lifeline to the community, discussing social and political issues, relationships, finances, motivation, and inspiration. For information regarding products, services, and resources, visit www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. That's www.fromthesoulofawoman.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I now present to you your host, Dr. Valerie Parker.
Good evening and welcome to Hot Topics from the Soul. I'm so delighted to be with you once again. It's still February. This is the month of love, relationships, finances, and I am so excited about our guest we have tonight. I have with me Shirley Carter.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us, and I'm so glad to be back with you tonight. Val, this is hot, hot, hot. And I hope the guys are listening.
Well, Shirley, we missed you last week. You celebrated your birthday. So, once again, happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
And today, February 17th, happens to be the birthday of Mr. Les Brown. He's the number one motivational speaker in the country. Of course, I'm partial to him. He was voted one of the top five speakers in the world. But I tell you, it has been an amazing journey with him. It's been 17 years I've had the privilege of serving and working with him and sharing the stage and booking him, doing his events. And we have an event coming up this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday in Orlando, Florida. So those of you that are listening in, feel free to give me a call at 954-724-0900. And if you want further information regarding the conference training this weekend with him and his mentor, Mike Williams. And tonight I have with me a special guest. He's a motivational speaker and author. His name is Vane Thomas. Vane, are you there?
I am here, and I'm blessed to hear your voice. And grateful to be on the show tonight.
Well, I'm excited. You know, when I heard the title of his book, you're an author, as I said, and a speaker, and your book is From Monster to Man. And I thought that was very intriguing because, you know, a lot of times we're on this journey, this game we call life, and we've had a challenge with our men transforming into the man that God intended for him to be. And when I saw Monster to Man, I was like, I want to know what this young man is saying and how did that transformation take place. So can you enlighten our audience?
Yes, I can. I want to first say thank you so much for the invitation, Valerie, and for all that you do. It's such a wonderful blessing that you are a part of this life with me, and we are helping assist people in going to the next level of their lives. You know, Valerie, in writing this book, and I'm still in the process of finishing it, but in writing this book, there were a lot of things that I had to come up against as far as emotions, because I had to deal with a lot of things that I hadn't really dealt with, and I was willing to look over it because, you know, sometimes dealing with the past and dealing with emotions and dealing with things that have happened and transpired in our lives, is sometimes it feels better not to deal with it. I say that because the first 2 years of my marriage, and gratefully I've been married for 7 years. My wife and I have been together for 8 and have a wonderful son, a wonderful home, and a baby on the way. But before
wow.
all of this splendor happened, the first 2 years of my marriage, I was actually killing my marriage. I was destroying my marriage because I did not know how to be the man that I was supposed to be. You know, I grew up in a single-parent home, and statistics show that there are over 20 million single-parent homes. There are 15 million without fathers and 5 million there are 15 million without fathers and 5 million without mothers. And I was one of those 15 million. I grew up without a father. And so I can just imagine those brothers that are out there that felt like I felt. You know, your mother would tell you stories about how wonderful your father was, or how good he was, and how tall he was, and how he smelled. And you would envision yourself smelling like him, and looking like him, and talking like him, walking like him. But then in the back of your mind, you had the question, well, where is he? If he's just this wonderful, if he's just this precious, where is the man that is supposed to teach me and guide me and show me what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to actually function as a man? And so many times we, in single parent homes, our mothers do the best that they can do, but they are still women. And sometimes they are still emotional about certain things. And so, you know, growing up in a single parent home, I had a wonderful experience, a wonderful life. My mother was a wonderful mother. But there were certain things that she did and certain ways in which she functioned. And I found that in the first two years of my marriage, you know, when I first met my wife, I swept off her feet. I mean, I was, you know, I was as good looking as I am now. as charming as I am now and all of those things. And I thought that's all it took. And I would just mm-hmm. imagine that many brothers would think that that's all it takes. You know, you just go off of what you've seen on television. Many of us, we look right. at television, we look at, you know, love stories, and we think, well, this is what it takes to be a man, especially when there's no one in the home to give you that example. You say, well, I'll just do what this brother did. I'll just, you know, talk to her sweet and talk to her nice, and in the movies, you know, put my hand around her and, you know, slip my hand around them and see if that works. And we'll just keep running life through that. And we have the form of being a man, but we don't really know how to consciously or spiritually on a deeper level be able to harness the power of a man, you know. And a man rightfully should be able to protect. A man rightfully should be able to protect a woman, should be able to lead a woman, and should be able to unconditionally love a woman because a man is responsible for being able to be the band or the husband, the one that bands things together, the one that sets the order, the one that sets the structure. And that's something that I didn't know how to do, and I didn't figure that out until my wife was ready to leave me. And I didn't understand because, like I said, as good-looking as I am and as charming as I am, you know, she had to be out of her mind. But the truth of it was I was out of my mind, and many of us brothers that are on the call tonight, you know, I know what a monster feels like. I know what a monster looks like, and I could just imagine that I'm talking to a lot of monsters out there now. But it doesn't mean that you cannot transform and you cannot change into a man, because it is in our DNA to protect. As I said, it is in our DNA to be unconditionally loving, and it is in our DNA to protect and to love. And so I didn't know how to be a man, and my wife was on her way out of the door. And it was through her getting ready to leave me. And I had to really do some soul searching. I really had to figure out, you know, who I was. And those are questions that we all have to ask if we're ever going to go to the unlimited level of success in which all of us have within us to go to. We have to start asking some questions that deal with the inner man, that deal with the inner spirit and the inner being that is within us all. We have to ask, well, who am I? Who am I really? Without all of these outer appearances, without the shows that I put on for other people, without the emotional breakdowns that I have, who am I? If I never experienced all of this other stuff, who would I be internally? So I had to ask that question. Who am I, and what is it that I want, and what is it that I'm going to do to change? I would plead with us that, brothers, if we're ever going to change, or women, if we're ever going to change, because... And the reason why I say this is because from monster to man, we can always cater it to men or women. But I really wanted this book, Monster to Man, to really be a message to mankind, to say that all of us at some point in time can be a monster. I found that my monstery was in communication. I did not know how to communicate. And what we do sometimes is that we love people based on the example in which we were given on how to love. And my mother loved me very well. But what I did recognize is that whenever she whenever I didn't do something that she wanted or whenever I didn't do something that pleased her because I was trying to find my own and trying to walk in my own path and my own journey, there was a level of manipulation, you know. And sometimes we try to manipulate people into love or manipulate people into doing what we want them to do. And this is what I was doing in my marriage. And my wife, she was a little sweet Baptist girl. She didn't know anything, and it was my responsibility to help her and to lead her and to guide her. And I would say this to those of us that are in relationships. There's a book that I love to read, and it says the two become one, but the two cannot become one without communication. And so the way that two people become one is that you sit down and you communicate with the person, and you figure out what it is you want, and you figure out what it is they want, and you see where the two of you can grow together so that you may be able to address those issues and be able to cause a plan of action to take place. At the time, I didn't know how to do that. I knew that there was something that needed to be done. As many of us that are on the call tonight were saying, man, I really love this person that I'm with, and I really want to be with this person, but I don't know how to fix what I'm in. I don't know how to mend what I'm in. Sometimes it takes another person being in to communicate. My wife didn't understand what I was doing to her until one day someone addressed it. And when they addressed it, she said, oh, yeah, brother, that's it. That's it. That's what you've been doing, and I'm sick of it, and I'm out of here. And because she's the most precious thing that could ever happen to me, and I knew that I never wanted to be without her, I had to make some internal changes. So
well,
some of the things that I had to do. Yes, ma'am.
Zane, one of the questions I want to ask you is, you know, as you're going through the visual, creating a pictorial for us that are listening on this radio show to envision what you're saying to communicate, you're saying you went from monster to man, and I'm just, you know, curious as to why you deemed or named yourself monster. What was going on that was so bad, that so traumatic that you called yourself a monster, besides the manipulation, because we all have the tendency to manipulate, as you just indicated.
Yes.
But what was it around that word monster that you pictured yourself being to this queen that you had attached yourself to?
Well, what was causing me to be a monster is I didn't know how to emotionally handle things. And I didn't really know how to communicate. And I think that whenever a person doesn't know how to handle things and whenever they don't know how to communicate, frustration sets in. A person that doesn't know how to read, when a person is illiterate and they don't know how to read, and you ask that person to read something, after a while, frustration and anger sets in. Because of everything that they know they have the ability to do, they don't know how to do it. And so me, I did not know how to communicate. And when I didn't know how to communicate, and when someone would not understand what I was saying, or when I didn't see the proper actions taken that I thought should be taken, I would explode. I would explode.
Okay,
and I
so
would
we are dealing with rage, with anger, and rage did never get physical.
Yes. No, it would never get physical. But I think any type of abuse, any form of abuse is abuse. And we don't really understand what we do to a person when we speak down to a person, when we degrade a person, when we talk down to them as if they're nothing or if they don't know anything. I believe that if a person doesn't know anything and you have the knowledge or the wherewithal, then you should be the teacher. And so in this particular part of my life, I was not a teacher. I didn't know how to teach because I had never been taught. All I did was live out what I was shown by my mother. This is how my mother reacted to things. This is how my mother handled situations. And so this is how I would handle situations. I would say all type of demeaning and dogmatic
things.
Were
you the only child?
I wasn't the only child. I was the oldest child. And I was the oldest child, but my mother was very much so, and I believe even to this day, very much so, still in love with my father. And so everything that she didn't get to say to my father, she said to me, and you know, we are taught by example, and sometimes subconsciously we don't even know that we're picking up messages and picking up ways to handle problems. And so subconsciously and even on conscious levels, I was picking up these problem what I thought was problem solving techniques, And so I surely was solving the problem, but it wasn't the problem that I wanted to solve. I was, you know, the solution in which I was coming upon was my wife leaving me. Very, very abusive. I remember one time my wife told me that, and this was recently, we were talking and discussing, because as I told you, as I'm writing this book, there are a lot of things that I have to relive, a lot of things, you know, a lot of the monstery that I was, I have to go back into it and really go back into my mind and see, well, what was I dealing with and what was I thinking of and how was I feeling it? What did I say? And, you know, all of these things. And one day she told me, she says, you know, I remember we were standing in front of a crowd of people, and we were at a church service, and the preacher said, a prophet came to the church and said, you know, God's going to teach you how to cook and how to be a wife and how to clean. And she said that I looked over at her and I said, tch, and laughed. And when she told me that, because I knew at the moment that I loved her so much, and that was a moment that I didn't remember, but I could never take back. It's not like I could live another life, but there is anything, you know, anything existing like reincarnation. I don't know about it because there's no one that's ever come from the dead and say, hey, brother, hey, sister, this is what happened when I was dead, and I'm back again. And so because I knew that I couldn't take that moment back, that expression back, I couldn't take that hurt back, that embarrassment back from her, I stopped the car. I could not drive anymore, because when she told me what I said, I began to weep and cry and bawl just to think about how much of a monster I was, to think about how much I had hurt her, and I could never take that moment back. See, many of us that are monsters, we're doing things and saying things and being the person that we really don't want to be. But when we think about it, what I told a person one time, I said, listen, brother, you have a wonderful person with you. And before you, she had a past, but with you, you are her past. So I was creating a past with my words. My wife is the type of woman that you have to, and I think every woman and every man and woman is like this. You have to build them up. You have to encourage them. You have to make them feel as if they can do anything, and put them on a road of motivation and encouragement, and show them that you're proud of them and that you love them and that you see light and love and more in them. And that's something that I was not doing. And Valerie, that's what made me a monster. That's what made me a monster. You mean to tell me you can't do this? You don't know how to do this? That's what I would say to her. You don't know how to cook? You mean to tell me you don't know how to clean? You don't? And I didn't take into consideration that she was the baby. So while her mother was bringing her sister into the kitchen to cook, her mother told her, girl, stay out of the kitchen. You're not old enough, you know. She kept her away from that. And because I wasn't sensitive to that, I was very much a monster. Very much.
Well, let me ask you this. Okay, so how long did you date?
My wife and I dated for a year.
You dated for a year and you didn't know she couldn't cook?
I did, but I don't think we paid. Sometimes in relationships we're so anxious and excited about the person, we don't really pay attention to a lot of things. And we have expectations that we really don't know how to communicate. And so we think, okay, well, once we get this far in a relationship, things are going to change.
Okay.
And so that was my expectation.
I wanted to, you know, intervene right here for a second. And so in your midst of your relationship, that 1 year dating period, so there was not a lot of communication there, because that's what I'm hearing. Is that true? That is so true. Because I'm thinking in one year, you learn a lot about a person if you communicate. And what I'm hearing you keep iterating now is the communication piece is something that was missing in your relationship. That it was more of you telling her different things instead of, there wasn't a lot of listening involved.
Yeah, there wasn't at the beginning.
Okay.
There wasn't. I had a problem with hearing, and when I would hear something, I would hear it distorted. Because when my mother would speak to me when I was younger, she would speak almost somewhat like in riddles. So I always had to solve a problem when it came to communication. And now I've worked on it, so I don't have that problem anymore. But if a person, you know, years ago would say, you really look nice today. In my mind, I would think, well, what do you mean? Didn't I look nice yesterday? And there it was. The monster would come out because I had no sense of understanding. I had no sense of understanding. I had to learn how to communicate again.
So with that being a curve that you have to, a learning curve you have to go into, we have a lot of listeners that are listening in to the show tonight. And as
yes.
a man, and, you know, men and communication is a hard piece. What would you
really
say
is
the first step that a man needs to take to start that communication?
Well, the first thing that I believe a man needs to take to start his communication is first we have to listen to ourselves and listen to other people. It's one of the things that I had to do. I had to start listening. Once my wife was ready to leave me, I had to listen, because all this time it was her fault and she wasn't doing anything right. But I had to listen to what she was saying finally, and I had to listen to how I was responding and what I was saying. I had to listen to myself and figure out, now, wait a second, am I taking this too far, or do I really need to sit down and listen? I had to start listening. And another thing that I had to start doing is that I had to start considering that what other people were saying to me was not a lie. I couldn't keep taking things offensively. I had to start backpedaling and being able to sit with what they were saying to see and to search myself to see, wait a second, is this really a reality going on within me? Is this really something true? Instead of me getting offended, instead of me getting upset, when the person says, hey, man, you talk too much. Hey, man, you think you're all that. Hey, man, you whatever they would say about me, instead of me refuting it and fighting with it, I had to listen to it and ask myself from within myself, do I have this problem? And if I had the problem, then taking that into me does nothing but change the problem. And if I didn't have it, then I can just release that thought, but thank that person for coming and at least being able to reveal that to me. So I had to start listening, and I had to start considering.
Well, one of the things that I noticed that you keep saying, Vane, is that she was going to leave me. I didn't want her to leave me. What about that leaving caused that jump in you? Did you face abandonment issues prior to marrying your wife?
Well, you know, I believe I did. I did face, you know, growing up without a father, so I already was feeling like, hey, something's missing. And then, you know, my mother, the way my mother grew up, she really didn't know how to show emotions. She really didn't know, you know, if I made a good grade, if I did something well, instead of her saying, that's wonderful, son. And that's something that I always try to do for my son now, and even for my wife. She's a musician, she's a psalmist, she writes and all of these things. And so we have times to where I'll say, play something for me, sweetheart, and she'll play it, and I'll have everybody in the house celebrate it. Same thing for my son, everybody will celebrate. Because that's something that I didn't get in my growing up. My mother, you know, if I made a good grade, my mother would say, well, yeah, that's what you were supposed to do. Well, Mom, look, I cleaned my room. Well, that's what you were supposed to do. By the time I was 8 years old, my mother married. So here it is. I'm thinking, you know, I got this wonderful relationship with my mother. I have this wonderful relationship with just me, my mother, and my brother. And then all of a sudden, this other person comes in, and all of the relationship, everything stops. All of the attention went to her husband. And I'm thinking, like, wait a minute here. So, yes, it brought me back to that time. It brought me back to that moment. I didn't want her to leave me because it would be like my mother taking her attention and being more involved with someone else other than me. I needed that. And I really believe that every man needs that attention from his mother. He needs to know that he's a king. He needs to know that he's loved. He needs to know that he's protected. He needs to know that he's cherished. He needs to know that so that because when he has that, he doesn't put all of that pressure and all of that strain on a woman. He comes into the game already sincere, already secure, and knowing who he is and knowing what it is he's supposed to do and how he's supposed to treat a woman and how a woman is supposed to respond to him.
So what I'm hearing right there is what you're seeing as far as your relationship with the woman stems from your relationship with your mother and how important
yes.
that is, as
yes.
well as a father being there to teach you how to be a man, but a mother being there to show you how to be compassionate.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Because, you know, during my process of being able to transform from monster to man, I had to recognize my mother in me. I had to recognize all of the things that I said I didn't like about my mother and how I grew up. You know, I left the house at 18 because my mother would fuss all of the time. Just, you know, it seemed like she would never stop fussing. She was always angry and upset about something. And so I had to recognize, wait a second, my wife, she can never please me because I don't even know how to be satisfied with my own self. And many of us, we put jobs on other people, or we give people checks that they really can't cash because it's not their responsibility to cash the check. We should already have that particular balance in the bank. See, I should have already been able, before I even got married to my wife, I should have been able to deal with all of these issues or deal with all of these problems and be able to do all of this, but it took my wife getting ready to leave and me saying, wait a second, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I don't want to go through the hurt of losing someone anymore. I don't want to be abandoned. I've been abandoned all of my life. I've been the reject all of my life. That's what it felt like because, you know, when I was 12 years old, I ended up meeting my father's side of the family. And everybody, you know, everybody in the family, they already had their own favorite cousin. They already had their cliques. They already had everybody to be around and be with. And so this was the only person that I was going to be able to get a new start, get a new beginning with. Mm. And she was helping me.
I'm glad you cleared that up because that was going to be my next question. What was it that
she was
looking for in your wife?
I was looking for that new start. I wanted to redo whatever it was I didn't get a chance, whatever it was I didn't have the control of as a child. And I know many people may be like, well, what do you mean? How do you mean redo? I wanted to redo that. And I didn't recognize until I started to recognize myself and consider and refuse to be offended. I had to refuse to be offended. When I started noticing my mother in me, then I said to myself, I said, wait a second. I think, by my personal opinion, I think that we as souls that come here, when we experience our life, I believe that we choose a mate. And with that mate, we choose to get with that mate, and we choose to take whatever weaknesses our parents had and make it strength. And if that is not so, I think that should be our task. See, because I had to recognize my mother in me. I had to recognize my father in me. My father, you know, I used to tell my wife all the time when she was before she got ready to leave me. I used to say, "Well, I'm out of here. You can't do this. You can't do that. I'm out." But my father would run from things. He ran from me. He ran from his other wives. He ran from things in life instead of standing up to things. So I had to learn how to stand up to things, even though they hurt. It hurts to stand up to things, especially when all of your life you've never had to stand up for anything because someone was always there to protect you. My wife wasn't going to protect me. She was telling me the straight-on truth. She was telling me, hey, you're mean. Hey, you're judgmental. Hey, you're this. She was telling me the straight-on truth, and I couldn't run anymore. If I was going to change, if I was going to be a better husband, if I was going to be a better man, even if she would have decided to walk away from me, at the end of the day, I was determined to be a better me so that I could change and redo what it was that was in me that didn't need to be there. And so once I was able to do that, I was able to say, you know what? There's some things I need to do. Once I started to notice my mother in me, then I had to forgive my mother. I had to call my mother. My mother was sick in 2013, the whole year she was sick. And, you know, my mother was very, very ill. very, very ill. And I think at some point in time in our lives, we have to recognize, you know, abusive relationships. And we have to say to ourselves, you know, I love this person, but I can't take this abuse anymore. And that was the point that I was that I was at, because all of my life I had been trying to prove myself to my mother. I do love you. She would always say, no, you don't love me. And I would be trying to prove it and prove it and prove it and prove it.
Looking for that validation.
Yeah, I needed validation. I needed validation. I wanted to be validated. I remember when I was younger, my cousins, when I finally met my father's side of the family, my cousins would come over to my house, and the week before they came over, I would be talking to them on the phone. I'd be lying, talking about I had all this other extra stuff that I didn't have. And when they got there, they were looking for it because I was always trying to be something. I needed to be something. I needed to be validated. I needed for someone to say, good job. I never heard that in my life. I never heard that in my life. I never heard good job. I never heard well done. I never heard, I'm so proud of you. Let me see that again. Will you do that again? Oh, that's wonderful. I never heard that in my life. So I was seeking for validation. As many men that are listening to me right now, that's what you're seeking for. That's what you're looking for. And you're getting, we get upset and we get angry with the woman that is there, thinking that she automatically knows. But until we're able to deal with the deeper issues within ourselves. See, my wife could never do anything good for me because I wasn't good enough for me. She couldn't encourage me because I didn't even know how to encourage me. I was taking out on her all of the things that I should have been dealing with myself with.
Okay, that's powerful. But Vane, in your communication with your wife, when you recognize what it was and the fact that you needed to make a change, name some of the steps that you took to transform your life so that you could be a better husband to her.
What I had to do is that I had to practice not responding offensively, verbally and also mentally. Another thing I had to do is that I had to look for lessons. I had to actually go and read, figure out what my issue, what my problem was. I had to go and read. And when I went and read, there were so many things that began to unravel to me. You know, there were so many things that began to unravel for me mentally. You know, I read a book and I read it from time to time. And I believe in... I believe in getting the information that you need in order to help yourself, no matter the cost. You know, many people, they came to my library and they saw the books that I read. And, man, you read that, man, you read this. Listen, if I can get information from an ant, I'm not trying to become an ant, but I will use the wisdom of an ant to get out of an ant hole or to build an ant civilization, because I'm always looking for wisdom. So I started to look for books. I began to read self-help books. I began to read, you know, I've always been a reader of the Bible, but I began to read self-help books. I began to read books about psychology. I began to read books about love and the real interpretation of love, what love really is. I began to read books about communication. Then I began to find people that emulated the type of relationship in which I wanted with my wife.
How hard was it for you to communicate and be able to be transparent to your spouse? Because, you know, those that are listening by the airwaves, one of the things I can tell you is communication is a definite factor. People fail to communicate because they fear the unknown. People are afraid to talk about how they feel because they feel that that person won't really like who they are because they've been living a lie or the life of a chameleon for so long that if you be transparent and say, this is who I am, and pull back the layers, how hard was it for you to cause that shift so that you could open up and communicate who you were?
It was very difficult. It was difficult. It was an internal battle. It was an internal battle because I knew externally I couldn't say anything to her anymore. I couldn't say no more of that evil stuff I was saying. But I battled with it from within. I really did, because she would say something and it would rattle me, and all of a sudden I want to get sarcastic. But then I would think, okay, what do I want in this relationship? Do I want her to walk out
the door?
So
the key word is it's a process. It's nothing that can be done overnight. It is a process.
It's a process.
As you
it's
come
not,
into
it's not
the
going
knowledge.
Yeah, it's not going to be done overnight. Once you become knowledgeable, once you become wise, once you become once you build a discipline, because it is a discipline. You have to become militant with yourself to where it becomes a practice. It becomes a discipline. And so it's a process. And to this day, I still have to, it's still a process. Because when you think about it, you know, many of us don't understand. We get into a relationship, and that's 18, 19, 20, sometimes 30 years of programming. That's 30 years, 25 years, 18 years of being a certain way, thinking a certain way, operating a certain way. That doesn't happen. That doesn't erase itself overnight. One of the books that I was reading, and I still read to this day because I love to deal with the mind, was a book by L. Ron Hubbard. He wrote the book Dianetics, and he said that there were two parts of the mind. One mind, we call it the conscious and the subconscious mind, but one of the parts of the mind that he talked about that I really love, he called the subconscious mind the reactive mind. He said that that part of the mind is always recording, whether you're conscious or you're unconscious, and sometimes you are dealing with situations or you're dealing with, you know, problems in your life according to what your mind has recorded. Sometimes it isn't even you. And so you have to go back to the mind, go back to the event in which that place on which that event was recorded, the event that you keep on repeating. You have to go back to that and you have to process things through. And say, okay, now why was I thinking like that? Why was I acting like that? When was the first time I ever felt this right here? When was the first time I ever felt like this? Because I can be getting mad at my spouse, and this is what I recognize. I recognize that in a relationship, your spouse may bring up problems, but they're not the problem. They just help bring them to the surface. And so since they help you bring them to the surface, it is your responsibility and their responsibility to come together and to find a means of communication to solve a problem that you both were able to bring to the surface. And that is what builds a relationship. A relationship is built off of solving problems. Think about it. Your relationship with your banker, the only reason why you have a relationship with the bank is because they can solve a problem and you don't have to keep all of your money in your house. And I know some of y'all got your lady stashes and your man stashes, and I do too. But you don't have to keep it all in your house, so that solves a problem which builds a relationship. So it is with your spouse. Your spouse helps you solve a problem. If it were not so, you would not be with them. There's a problem that you had. And when you met them, they were able to solve that. They were able to let you see a reflection of yourself that you had not seen with anyone else. And you said, man, I like this reflection of me. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to be with this person forever. And so, as I say in the book, every couple is a power couple. You just have to communicate to find your power.
That's interesting. One of the books that I like to recommend to individuals to read is by Van Moody. It's called The People Factor. Are you familiar with that book?
No, I'm not.
Well, that
but
is
I have,
a good
I have,
book.
I have heard
like
of Van Moody. I was actually listening to the Van Moody today.
Yeah, he's awesome. That book, The People Factor, I recommend it when I'm counseling individuals because I think that's a good book that helps pull back some of the layers and let you look in the mirror at your past and bring it into your future so that you can deal with it, which is basically what you're telling individuals that they need to do is to embrace their past. So that you can
embrace
go through
it.
That process of finding how you got to that certain point in your life so that you won't have to relive it again, which is a way of breaking generational curses.
It is. It is. Because, and you know, for the longest time, I always like to decode things. I always like to pull things apart. And I was like, okay, I know generational curses exist, but how do they exist? Well, here's where we understand. We understand that the body is made up by the time you're 1 year old, you're made up of 65% water, right? 65% water is in your body, and the rest of it is land, just like the universe is made. It's the same thing about your body. But water holds codes. Water holds vibrations. If you put a certain sound on water, if you put a loving sound on water, it'll crystallize and make a certain formation. And so, you know, generational curses happen through words, words that are spoken, emotions that are felt. Whenever we think a thought or whenever we feel an emotion, there is a chemical reaction that happens in the body, and it causes those chemicals to go throughout the body, get into the bloodstream, and also filter throughout the genetic code and DNA of the person. And that's what goes into the next person when the person is born. And so we have to be very careful about the words that we read, the information that we read, the things that we listen to, the things that we allow to get inside of our consciousness or what we call our spirit or our soul. We have to be very careful of those things because those things will affect us in some type of way. You know, one of the books that I love to read, and my wife and I, we're reading it again together now, is it's a book by Dr. Kelvin Lehman. And the book is entitled Seven Things He'll Never Tell You, But You Need to Know.
Hmm.
And he was talking about, yeah, seven things that he'll never tell you, but you need to know. And he was saying that men need three things. Men need respect. They need to be respected. They need to feel needed, and they need to feel fulfilled. And I was saying to myself when I read the book, I was like, wow, that is so true. Because that is what I was looking for in my life. And here's what I didn't understand. I did not understand that if I cultivated myself as a man and if I became the man that I needed to be, all of these things would naturally flow out of my woman. See, many of us are looking for the love, the respect to be needed and to be fulfilled, and we're in our relationship right now and we're trying to look outside and say, oh, that woman can do it for me. No. The woman that's sitting right next to you, the one you have an attitude with, the one that you're probably wrong about whatever you said, but you won't apologize, that woman right there can love you, can need you, and can fulfill you. She can do those things. Once you become the man that you are supposed to be, once you transform from being that monster into being a man. Now, am I saying it's going to happen overnight? No, because there's going to be some healing that needs to take place. There's going to be some wounds that need to be healed. Many of us think that we fall out of love with our spouse, and this is something that me and my, I call the baby girl. Me and baby girl, we talk about all the time. I say, you know, we thought we fell out of love with one another. But the truth of the matter is there was something that I said at one moment in time. Remember I talked about water and how it forms. And so when I said that particular thing, it struck her emotions in a certain way and shut her down. That's what happens to us all the time. A person can say one thing. A person can do one thing. And all of a sudden, the way they do it, the way it sounds, the way it feels to us, it shuts us down. And we think, oh, I don't love that person anymore. I don't like that person anymore. I'm not with them. We've fallen out of love. No, what needs to happen is that we got to go back and recorrect that. See how it is I can go back and reestablish that moment. Make that moment enjoyable for you. By recreating myself and causing a new man to come out of me so that you can become a better woman.
And also I'd like to submit to you that it is, you know, basically the job of the woman to cultivate that male seed, because we are the ones that give birth into the universe and are able to push those dreams and ideas to go forth in a man. It is our womb that is able to carry a man physically as well as birth things spiritually.
Yes, yes. And you know, that's something that I say in the book. I say the man gives the seed. The woman incubates the seed. The woman is the womb. The man gives the intellectual seed, both naturally and spiritually. And when I speak of spiritually, I'm talking about on a mental level, because everything that is spiritual comes from a universal intelligence. Okay, and it flows through our mind, and we call it thoughts, but it's universal spirit and intellectual property of the Creator. And so the man gives the seed naturally and spiritually. When a man can give the seed, the woman will pick up the coating of the seed and incubate the seed and turn it into what it's supposed to turn into according to the coding. See, that's the power of a woman. And if we men would learn how to celebrate, that's the thing I had to learn how to do. I had to learn how to love my wife. She told me, she said, babe, yeah, sweetheart, you only hug on me and kiss on me when people are around. You're trying to get a show out of it, and I was. I wanted people to see in public that I loved her. They had to see it, that I loved her in public. But when we got a, you know, when we got along, I didn't know what to say to her. I didn't know how to communicate to her. I did not know who I was supposed to be. But then I started to really internalize falling in love with this woman, seeing her as beautiful, seeing how I could assist her, seeing how it was I can become sweet and nice and kind, being able to do certain things that, you know, I had to learn about her body. You see, it's not just a mental thing. You got to learn everything about your woman because this is your Absolutely. This is your woman. This is your queen. Learn about her body. What doesn't she like? What does she like? Learn everything about her. Learn everything about her. Learn what makes her smile. Learn what ignites the fire in her. Because always, you know, we try to love people the way that we like to be loved, and we give them flowers. Well, that's something I like. I like flowers and candy and all that kind of stuff. She likes nice words. She likes to be affirmed. Now, she likes flowers and all that kind of stuff first, too, but she likes to be talked to. She likes to be buttered up. She likes for words to build her up. Then that, you know, that's it's all.
Absolutely.
But we men, we have to study our women. We have to be willing. We have to love them so much to say, how can I serve you? And that's one of the things that I had to learn how to do. How can I serve you? And once I started to want to serve this woman, oh man, she started skipping and jumping and singing and whistling all around the house. And I was trying to figure out, what are you tricking me? Remember, I'm coming from 18 years of solving a problem. So I'm thinking, now, who is this? What, in order for you to be doing this, something's got to be happening. She said, no, brother, it's just you. It's the way you're treating me. It's the way you're talking to me. It's the way that you're loving me. It's the way that you're holding me. It's the way that you're feeding me that's making me react like this. What we have to understand, brothers, is that all of our women have the nature to automatically submit, to automatically love a man that will love them. And I want to submit to all of us that are listening today, if we've ever ran into a no-good woman, it was not because she was no good on her own. It was no good because it was a no-good man that helped shape the woman. I've heard women on many occasions say, you know, I got into the relationship and I just lost myself. What an honor. What a privilege to know that men, when we are real men, when we move from a state of being monsters by doing some exercises, by self-developing, by being able to read and being able to study ourselves and being able to rid ourselves of our past and of our hurts and of our pains and stop trying to look at our women as if they're our mothers. The same hatred, the same fear, the same resentment that we had towards our mothers we take out on our women. If we begin to heal ourselves, we'll figure out that that woman can be made like clay in a pot. And it's our responsibility to shape her and to mold her and to make her our queen. Therefore, she knows how to take care of the home. Therefore, she knows how to speak kindly and sweet to you because you're always speaking kind and sweet to her. Therefore, you don't have an angry and bitter woman who has harsh words to say and doesn't know how to represent you in the home as well as out in the public. You have an intelligent woman because you're an intelligent man. You become the man that you were always meant to be. She loves your children with care. And so while you're out there hustling and bustling and doing the things that you need to do in order to make the house be what it needs to be and satisfy your woman, when you come home knowing you hadn't seen your children all day, but because she's always talking about you and giving praises and singing praises about you around the home, the child is happy to see you. You come through the door and everybody's running to you. Why? Because you have changed from monster to man. You've been able to recognize who you are. You've been able to forgive yourself and forgive your mother. You've been able to go back into your past and think about who you were and think about how you need to rid yourself of all of those past things. You've been able to practice love and practice being successful in a relationship, practice communication, practice being able to be more affectionate. And I think that is some type of weak thing to be affectionate. And when you do that, that's when your transformation happens. And it's got to be an everyday thing. Got to wake up thinking, how can I love her? How can I serve her? How can I look for a lesson today on how to be a better man today? My father, my grandfather used to say, now if you find a good cat, that's the one you need to copy. So my grandfather, he was married, and he, you know, my grandfather, late Bishop Adel Thomas, he transitioned on last year. He was married for 60 years. What did he do? How did he talk to my grandmother? So when you find somebody, when you find a master, they'll lead you into mastery. I had to learn how to feel my love.
And fellas, that's
something
that
we have
to
do.
One of the things I wanted to ask you as you were communicating, mm-hmm. I wanted to know, was there any male models for you to look at? And, you know, you said that you watched your grandfather. So did you refrain to that once your wife, you know, said to you, I'm leaving you because you don't know how to treat me and I don't feel that you love me? Did you think about your grandfather or any other strong male model? I'm talking to Vane Thomas, who's a motivational speaker and author of From Monster to Man. Vane.
I did. I referred to my grandfather, and I saw, and I referred to my uncles. I saw how they loved their wives. And at first I thought it was just what they did.
Okay, so you did see an example. Because you just said that
I saw an example.
Through the conversation, you watched your mother, and you kind of took on her nature as opposed to those male species that were surrounding you.
Right. Right. Well, you know, those males, as I stated earlier, those males didn't surround me until I got older in my life, because they were my father's brothers. That was my
okay.
That
so
was
you
my
didn't have any
father.
On your mother's side. Okay.
I didn't have any. You know, I didn't have anybody on my mother's side. They were all literally, they were all gangsters. They were pimps. They were the people that you looked up to if you wanted to sell drugs, or people that you looked up to if you wanted to, you know, run women, or the people that you looked up to if you wanted to make, you know, money gambling. They were not the men that came home to one woman and that were faithful and that told you, now this is what you do and this is how you talk to a woman and this is how you can cook for her sometime. They didn't tell you, you know. No. So I didn't get that. I didn't get that from that side of the family. I didn't get that. And so it was a new paradigm for me. When I met my grandfather,
okay.
I loved my grandfather from the first time I saw him. And when he would talk to me and he would say, now listen, this is what you've got to do. If you really want her to stay with you, you've got to talk to her very softly. and you got to mean what you say. You got to mean it. You got to feel it. And he would talk to me and he would sit. I mean, everywhere he would go, I would want to go. I would want to be around him for hours and hours and hours. And hours, because, again, I never got the chance to have a father, and I never got a chance to be around him. So all of the time that I spent with him, I cherished it. I loved it. I loved it. And I took so much in from him. He says to me, if you take care of a woman, she'll take care of you.
Well said.
And he taught me what to do. He taught me what to do. He taught me what to do.
Now, had you not had an encounter with your grandfather, what do you think, how do you think your life would have panned out had you not had any contact with him?
If I hadn't have had any contact with my grandfather, I would have never had a father. I would have never had a father, and with me not having a father, I would have never had validation. My grandfather was the first person that ever told me, because I was always, you know, I was always studious. I was a young minister, I was always studious and always studying more and reading more because I wanted someone to say, good job. No one ever said it. They just said, you're above your time, you're before your time. You know? But my grandfather would say, now you've got it. You really got it. Now if you just sit down, if you sit down somewhere and get stable, you can grow this thing. But you really got it. Mm-hmm. And so I would have never gained stability. I would have never gained a greater hunger for wisdom and for knowledge and for understanding. I would have never searched for Les Brown. You know, I'm a motivational speaker, one of Les Brown's platinum speakers. I would have never searched for Les Brown because my grandfather mm-hmm. said, if you want to be the best, you have to go after the best.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that.
Indeed.
He told me that.
Indeed.
And
well,
so I wouldn't be the young man. Oh, wow.
This has gone so quickly, Vane Thomas, the motivational speaker and author. Any closing remarks you can leave with? We've got about 2 minutes left. Any closing remarks on how they can connect with you and purchase this book?
Yes. I believe that every man and every woman has the ability to transform with the power of your mind into practicing certain principles and certain techniques to self-develop. I believe that you can be the best that you were meant to be. You can move from monster to man, and you can even move from wounded to woman. There is greatness in you, and your life is ready to go to the next level. Those of you who are looking to reach out to me, I want you to reach out to me by Facebook. You can reach out to me. My Facebook is growing every day. I mean, it's just a wonderful blessing. You can look for me, Vane Thomas Jr., V-A-Y-N-E Thomas Jr., and you can look for all of the updates. There are some things that are going on, some new things that are happening. We're bringing Les Brown to town in April, so you can be looking for those things. We'll have our website launching, a new website launching, and so you can be looking for those things. And you can go to Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, Balboa.com, and you can look for my book that's already out now. Someone is looking for your voice and creativity. And as I said, you can go to Vane Thomas on Facebook, Vane Thomas Jr., V-A-Y-N-E, Thomas, regularly spelled, Jr., and you can also follow me so that you can be in the know for when From Monster to Man will be released. It's coming out very, very soon. And my wife is also working on her book, From Wounded to Woman. So keep up with
okay.
us. Check in with us.
Well,
and thank
well,
you so much.
Well, I can't
much,
wait to have you back on the show. So
and I can't
I
wait to be back.
To
thank you so much for your time.
And also connecting with you in the Houston area. And I want to remind
yes,
our listeners
yes.
to check out our website, www.fromthesoulofawoman.com, and also eventsbyourrise.com. And Shirley, what is your website? Shirley Carter? Shirley M. Carter.
Shirley M. Carter.com.
Yes, Shirley M. Carter.com to find out different things that we have coming up. As well, you know, I do my soul retreat every year, and Shirley is the founder and president of Against All Odds. And if you want more information regarding the event this weekend with Les Brown or the upcoming one in Houston with Les Brown, you can call me at 954-724-0900, and I'll be more than happy to connect with you. Thank you, and look forward to hearing from you and connecting with you next Tuesday on Hot Topics from the Soul. Good night.
Good night.
Good night. It's hot in here.